Thank you for being faithful tonight and our service. And I'm going to just have you turn your Bibles for a moment. Arthur will also be bringing a challenge toward the end of the service. But in 2 Timothy, if you would turn there with me, in the New Testament, you find there the New Testament. You go past all the Gospels and Acts and Romans and Corinthians, and you'll go past Colossians. You'll run right into Thessalonians and then Timothy. And we'll be in the second book of Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. When you find your place, would you just say amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's most of you. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it says, the Word of God says this. Paul writing to Timothy. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Let me pray and then I want to just share a few words with you. Father, Lord God, we look to you this evening. What a special time in our church, Lord, where we see you working even in the midst of a pandemic, where a country is going through a lot of uncertainties. And Lord, we've seen your church thrive through this. And we can take no credit for that, Lord. God, we give you all the glory. You have kept a sweet spirit in this church and you have added to this church. And Lord, we just are asking you to give us wisdom as we move forward. Because we're asking you to do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it more and more. Let us be your servants. Let us be led by your Spirit. And let us see you work greatly in our church and our community for your glory. And God, tonight, bless in this study time and then the testimony to follow. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What I've read to you tonight, 2 Timothy 2:2, I first heard as a new believer. I was probably maybe a year or two old in the Lord. I was in North Charleston, South Carolina, going to Northside Baptist Church. And the Lord in His providence had a man by the name of Tony Iola. Now, Tony was such a unique man. He's in heaven now, but at the time, I believe he was in his 80s and very weak. Physically, but very sharp mentally and very sharp spiritually. And as a young believer going into that church, God just drew me to Tony. I just knew there was something special about him, and there was. He loved the Word of God, and I just asked him, would he teach me the Word of God? Would he help me learn the Bible? And he said, sure, if you're serious. And so I went over to their little one-bedroom apartment. He and his wife had probably been married like 60 years at the time. They're both in heaven now. Their son is still living. He's still attending there at Northside. But he brought me into his house, and he mentored me. He discipled me. He opened up the Bible and, boy, would talk about dispensations. And, of course, at that time, as a year or two old in the Lord, I'm thinking, what is all this? But I was like a sponge. I was soaking it up. He would talk about prayer and he would talk about the power of God. And he'd talk about the glory of Jesus Christ. And I can remember it just like it was yesterday. One time we were just sitting out there in his front yard. And at the time, he was still riding a bike some, believe it or not. He was still riding the bike some. Now, his wife and family were trying to keep him off of it, but he would sometimes want to prove himself because he was growing weak. But I remember standing out by his bike one time, and he shared something with me, and it stuck. He said, Brinson, he said, as you grow in serving the Lord, and at this time he knew that God was leading me towards the ministry, and I had a heart for it. I just had a heart to grow in the Lord, and he had a sense, I think, that God was calling me at that time, and God was. He shared this verse, and he said, you ought to make this verse right here your life verse. He said, you ought to make this your life verse because this is what the ministry is all about. It's about what Paul said here to Timothy, who was a young pastor. Paul was his spiritual father, and he said, Timothy, the same way that I have poured my life into you all these years as you traveled with me, and I'm leaving you now and pastoring in the city of Ephesus, and I want you to do the same thing to others that I have done to you. You in here tonight can give the same testimony, I'm sure most of you, that you have had people that have just poured themselves into you, spiritually speaking, who have opened up the Bible and showed you the Word of God and taught you the Word of God and encouraged you. And for that, we give God all the glory. This word commit means to simply this word carries the idea in the original to actually make a deposit. And to make a deposit, that's something that you're going to trust somebody with. And I think about this verse that's what we are doing in life as Christians. We are constantly imparting and entrusting truth to others. And then they take it and do it to others. What you are hearing tonight is the fruit of the past 18 years of my Christian life, of people who have poured into me spiritually. And I thank God to them. I'm indebted to them, but they imparted to me truth and for the work of the ministry. And Paul is telling Pastor Timothy to pour himself into others. And as tonight, as we think about the possibility of bringing in another staff member, but not just a staff member, but specifically what's unique about this opportunity is it's an intern. An intern is been defined by Webster, defines it this way, is an advanced student or graduate, usually in a professional field such as medicine or teaching, or in our case, a local church ministry. But for the purpose of gaining supervised practical experience, as in a hospital or classroom. I think of Arthur tonight being here with us, and he just graduated Bible college, has a call of God on his life, and wants to learn the ministry, wants to serve in the ministry. And I think we could all testify here tonight, one of the best teachers in life is experience. Where we are going to get a practical, hands-on, real-life experience. I can remember, folks, and I don't say this to degrade my training at Ambassador at all. I really do not. I got wonderful training. I know Arthur did too. But I could say practically, I felt like I learned more in 2 months on an internship sitting in the Sahara Desert with the Edens family when temperatures would soar to 140 degrees and trying to reach Muslims with the gospel and hearing the different languages and the different aspects of ministry and the hardships and the victories and being under what I felt like was the Apostle Paul, Brother David Edens. Those 2 months, and what was that? That was me being able to get some practical experience in the ministry as an intern. It was only 2 months, but it felt like a year, I'll tell you that. it was something that I learned greatly. But you know, example with interns, you have doctors who usually have a 1 year or two before having their own practice. They are fulfilling various roles of a physician for the purpose of learning and growing. And tonight, that's what I say. That's what I just wanted to explain to you. When we even talk about the word intern, what does that look like? Well, that's what I believe Arthur would be doing here at the Creek. He would be helping me in various pastoral duties such as studying, preaching, praying, visiting, planning, counseling, teaching, especially our youth group, and leading activities, and many other things that would come about in the work of the ministry. And tonight I've asked Arthur to come, and those of you that are viewing live stream, appreciate that. And those that won't be able to make it tonight, it'll be recorded. But I've asked Arthur to come and share his testimony of salvation, just how the Lord came after him at a young age and saved him. And also his call to ministry, and also his possible service, the open door and possibility of serving here at the Creek. And just sharing some things about that. And after he shares his testimony, we'll open it up for a few questions. I'll mention more about that here in just a minute. But Brother Arthur, I'm so thankful that you've come here tonight to just share your testimony. And Brother Arthur's been praying with us. As I mentioned on Sunday night, Brother Arthur came, as you remember, July 14th and preached for us for the day before. Met with the finance committee, and we all sat down for a couple hours just asking questions, getting to know him, just seeing, trying to sense God's direction. And we all just had just perfect peace that God's hand was leading in this. And so we want to just take that next step and have an opportunity for our church to connect with him and hear his heart and how God has worked in his life. So, Brother Arthur, you come and share your testimony of salvation. Appreciate you being here, brother. Amen.
Well, good evening. It's good to be with you all. And let me just start by saying it's been a blessing, and I'm really, really excited about seeing what God is doing here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Just the past few months, just kind of being able to watch a little bit from afar and seeing God work, hearing about the missions trip, and I know some of the teens went to camp, and just seeing that God is blessing, God is working. What an amazing testimony for your church, and thank you, Pastor, for having me, and you all, of course, for having me here tonight. And I really just want to start with just telling you what the Lord's done in my life. As I give my testimony, really what I think is that there's just God's grace and God's faithfulness in what He's done. So originally I was born and raised in California. My dad grew up in the Los Angeles area. My mom was born in New Mexico. And they kind of didn't grow up in church. They didn't really know God as they were young people. My dad's family, they didn't go to church, but he was saved as a 15-year-old. His uncle invited him to go to a revival meeting, and he heard the gospel. He accepted it as the Lord as his Savior. And then my mom, she really never went to church. She never heard about Jesus Christ and what he had done for her until I was about 2 years old. We were living in California out in a really, really small town called Lemoore. And we had a house fire at our house, and my mom, she just started to have questions about, you know, is heaven and hell real? Is all of this, you know, is that an actual possibility? What will happen for eternity? And a Navy chaplain actually led my mom to the Lord, and we praised the Lord. I was about 2 years old. And then after that, in the next year, my parents started going to church. My family started going to church here and there and just learning more about Jesus Christ, hearing the gospel, hearing the word of God for some of our time. The first time I wasn't born necessarily in church, but as a young kid, I started to hear about Jesus Christ and what he had done for me. And my parents, they got plugged in. They started going to church more faithfully as I grew up. And when I was 6 years old, I was in a Sunday school class. And the teacher, I had no idea what she taught about that day, but she gave kind of a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me prayer at the end. And she said, if you said that prayer, raise your hand. So I raised my hand, and she said I was saved, and I got baptized, I think, a week or two later. And from then, I went on thinking I was a Christian, thinking that everything was wonderful, and I was saved on my way to heaven. And my parents, they just started going to church more faithfully, growing in the Lord, and they were being discipled, and they were following the Lord, and my older siblings got saved, and praise the Lord for that. But I remember when I was about 9 or 10 years old, the Lord started convicting my heart. As a kid, when I was 6 years old and the teacher gave that 1, 2, 3, repeat after me prayer, I didn't understand the gospel. I didn't understand what Jesus had done for me. I maybe had heard it here and there, but as a little kid, all I remember is that she said, repeat this prayer, and I raised my hand, and everybody said, yay, you're saved. But as a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, I started to get under conviction. I started to hear the gospel, what my sin meant, what the punishment was, what Jesus Christ had done for me. And I went under conviction probably for about 1 or 2 years. I would battle with it. No, they said I'm saved already. And then the Lord would tell me, I need to accept Christ as Savior. And I said, no, I was baptized, I was saved. And the Lord just kept convicting me and convicting me and convicting me. What was neat is, as my parents grew in the Lord, I could see what God was doing in their life. I could see where they were growing, where they were, just turning their life around to follow God and to be a real Christian. And one night after family devotions, I knew that, you know, I had enough of the conviction. The Lord had been dealing with me. I knew I needed to be saved. I knew that I needed to accept what Jesus Christ had done for me on the cross and dying for my sin. As a little kid, I just went across to a separate room. I bowed my head and I prayed and I accepted the Lord as my Savior for real this time. I didn't just say a prayer. I didn't just repeat after somebody and get baptized, but I put my trust in Jesus Christ. as an 11-year-old boy. It's actually been almost, almost 11 years in a few weeks. And, you know, just praise the Lord for that he just kept convicting me. Pastor saying what God comes after. You know, he kept coming after me, even though I would kind of push him away, saying, no, I'm already saved. And he convicted me, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. Then a few years later, as I grew in the Lord, as I started, you know, got baptized a week later, I started going, you know, to youth group and started to get a little bit older and learning more about God's Word, learning more about Jesus Christ, what he had done for me, and how that means that I should serve him. Remember, as at a youth conference, and they preached about surrendering your life to the Lord, giving your life to God because of what he's done for you. And I don't know, I was probably about 14 or 15 years old. And I said, Lord, whatever you have for me, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then it was a year later, I heard a message from Ezekiel 22:30, just about standing in the gap, how there's a need for more men to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a need for more pastors, more evangelists, more missionaries. And God worked on my heart that entire service. You know, I want you to be a preacher. I want you to preach the gospel. Remember, as the invitation came, there was no hesitation. There was no thought about it. I knew that I wanted to give my life to God to preach the gospel. And I made that decision as a teenager and just going to church. You know, now my family at that point was faithful. You know, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, my family was growing in the Lord. And I decided, oh, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then that next year, I say, God, wherever you want me to go, if you want me to go to another country, if you want me to be in America and preach, God, I'm going to preach your word. I'm going to preach the gospel wherever you want me to do it. Then the next few years, my pastor, he was just a great blessing in California. He took me along with him to go to nursing home, go to outreach, and just to start being involved, gave me a few opportunities here and there to preach. And as I got closer to graduating high school, I knew that I needed to go to Bible college and prayed about the different options that I had been given and wasn't really sure where to go. I graduated a year early and I was like, well, Lord, do you want me just to work and then go? Do you want me to go to Bible college now? What do you want me to do? And I remember the guy who leads Bill Rice Ranch was his Will Rice, evangelist Will Rice. He came to my church and did a family conference, and he started talking to me and said, hey, we just started the Bill Rice Bible Institute last year, which is a camp in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and they have young people come, almost like a one-year Bible college program. So I decided to go. The Lord put on my heart. He provided everything for me to go there. I went there for a year, got a year of Bible training, great just teaching, experience in ministry and camp ministry. And then I said, well, after that, Lord, where do you want me to go to Bible college? I know that I need to finish my education. I know I need to just train for ministry how you'd have me to. And that's where God led me to Ambassador Baptist College. I just graduated with a degree in evangelism, Bible and evangelism. I enjoyed it. I had a blast. And just God has really, really done an amazing work in my family. I kind of hit it just a little bit about my parents not really growing up in church. You know, for a while as we were growing up, as I was a kid, there were a lot of hard times as we, as a family, really grew closer to God. As we started to understand and learn what it meant to be a Christian, not just, you know, come to church and to open up your Bible, what it meant to be a real follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for what God's done in my family. You know, praise the Lord. My parents were both saved. All my siblings have accepted Christ as their Savior. I have an older brother who's an assistant pastor in Arizona. My younger sister's an ambassador and training for ministry. And God has really done a special thing. And I, you know, say all those things that God has done, not because I've done anything special, but because God has been so, so good. You know, as I look at my salvation, you know, it's nothing I did. It's what Jesus Christ did for me. And, you know, even the times that I pushed him away, yet he still convicted me and said, no, Arthur, you need to get saved. No, Arthur, you need to put your trust in Jesus Christ, not in a prayer that you said. And then, you know, just thankful that God even counted me worthy, you know, being nothing to answer the call to ministry. And I'm thankful for that. Like I said, I graduated Ambassador Baptist College. I believe long term God wants me to be an evangelist. I believe that eventually God wants me to travel full time preaching the word of God, seeing people saved, Lord willing, holding revival meetings. But as I graduated, as I'm looking toward the next step before evangelism, I believe that God wants me to, you know, go to a local church and to be involved, to learn all I can. And you know, as the phrase goes, to can all I get, to get all the experience that I can in a local church ministry. And really, as Pastor Jennings called me and talked to me about the opportunity, and we prayed about it and just feel the Lord's hand leading forward, I'm really excited about the opportunity to come here and to, one, learn and grow everything I can and grow as much as I can, learn everything I can from Pastor and from the godly men in this church. And that's really a need that I have. You know, I grew up somewhat in church here and there, and then, more regularly as I was older. I went to Bible college, but there's nothing like the experience you get from actually, you know, being in ministry full time. So I look forward to the opportunity, Lord willing, of learning and growing. And then the second opportunity that I think is a wonderful opportunity is to be able just to serve you. I don't know what God's plan will be. I don't know every single thing that I will be doing. But if God allows me to come here, my plan and my goal would be to help Pastor Jennings in whatever I can do to be a blessing to you. I know he's mentioned youth ministry. I'll say that I've had a passion and a burden for youth ministry. I see a lot of teenagers here tonight. I remember preaching to you guys not too long ago and getting to meet you guys here and there a little bit. Young people, they're the people coming up just right after me, and they're coming up, and God wants to do something in their life, and God wants to see them grow to serve Him as well. I've had opportunity to serve here and there. I went to the Bill Rice Bible Institute. I spent a couple years as a counselor there. I did neighborhood Bible time as a teen evangelist. And really, I would love the opportunity just to be able to serve with the young people and just, plan activities, do all the fun stuff, but as well just to see them grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Pastor?
We'll get you back up here in a second, Brother Arthur. But we just also want to open it up for some questions that you may have. Now, understand, this is not an ordination council, okay? And maybe there's something that you'd like to ask about Arthur, and that would give you a better perspective. Anybody would like to ask that? Feel free. Just if you do, please just speak up loudly so we can hear the question. And then Arthur can go from there. And I'll just let you take some hands here. We'll take a few.
Sure. Premillennial rapture of the church. Yeah, exactly. I don't think they would have let me graduate from Bible college. But yes, ma'am, premillennial rapture. There any other questions? Yes, sir. Sure. I would say other than my parents would be Pastor Rick Owens in Fresno, California. He was my pastor from when I was probably around 14, 15 until I graduated. And like I said, he gave me a lot of opportunities to go with him and to be in nursing home ministry, to go to other places. He really invested in me. He prayed with me a lot and just did whatever he can to help me grow as a young person who wanted to be in ministry. So I would say Pastor Rick Owens. Anything else? Anything at all? Yes, ma'am. Sure. So I did a number of things as far as schooling goes as a kid. I went to Christian school for a little bit. I went to public school for a little bit. And I actually did my last 3 years at a public online school. So I graduated early. I did my sophomore year 1 year, and then my junior and senior year all online. So it was really flexible, allowed me to work and get a lot of schoolwork done. So, yes, ma'am. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Not as far as a local church ministry. I've done things, like I said, the Bill Rice Ranch and neighborhood Bible time. But nothing full-time as far as in the church. I've helped out here and there when I've had opportunities to teach Sunday school, but nothing that extensive. Yes, sir. Sure. When I was 14, 15 years old, I actually worked for a publications company. They print tracts and brochures and all that kind of stuff for churches. And then right before I moved and went to college, I actually worked for a trampoline park, which I really enjoyed. Yes, sir. Okay, sure. My first 2 years at Ambassador Baptist College, I worked about 40 to 50 hours a week at an industrial fan company. So every day we were kind of in a factory building fans, building crates to ship fans off. And The Lord really blessed those 2 years, allowed me to pay all of my first 2 years of college. And then my last 2 years of college, I was a resident advisor, so I worked full time for the school in the office, over a dorm, just doing kind of whatever they asked me to do. And praise the Lord, I was able to pay off all my school bill. So God's glory. Was there another hand I saw, I think, over here? Yes, ma'am. My view of Israel and the church. I believe they're separate entities, and that Israel is obviously God's chosen people. I don't believe he's done with them yet. And the church is, part of this new dispensation, like Pastor talked about, dispensations. God's called out people who are born again, Jews, Gentiles, everything in between, who are believers of Jesus Christ. Yes, ma'am. Sure. I would think any ministry that you're going to be in. Sure. Just like here, she asked if I believe that having a deep love for the Word of God would be required for an evangelist. And then if I could point to a time in my life where I really fell in love with God's Word. So I would say definitely for any ministry that you're going to be in. I think in the book of Acts, when it talks about the apostles and those who are going to be the first pastors and first teachers, they said, they need to devote their time to the Word of God and to prayer. And that's of utmost importance, is that I would rightly divide the Word of truth, that I would rightly preach the Word of God. And that's really where all of our power, all of our ministry comes from, is the Bible. So I definitely believe that's true for ministry, no matter what ministry you would be in. And I think as far as when I really started to fall in love with God's Word, would have been around the time I was in high school. I started to listen to preaching more. I started to really read my Bible, not just as a try and get it all done in a year, but to really learn from it, to look for different things in it. And just as God's grown me through high school and college, God's given me a great love for His Word. I want to say one of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 119, which constantly points to the Word of God and His sufficiency and having a deep love for the Word of God. So definitely. Anything else? Anything at all? Yes, ma'am. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm 22 years old. Yes, ma'am. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I would just say what the Apostle Paul says. I am what I am, but by the grace of God. Nothing special about Arthur Costa or anybody else. Just God's grace and God's goodness. Yes, ma'am. So what she asked was if I took any counseling classes that would help with kids or teenagers and working with them. Our last year of college, I think it's our first semester, we take a counseling class with Pastor Randy Bray. I don't know who all may have heard of him, but he's taken extensive counseling courses. He's multiple degrees in counseling as far as Christian counseling and secular counseling. And really, he put us through the ringer as far as classes. I did a 100-something page project specifically on counseling, developing topics, developing just ways to handle it with the Word of God. No matter the circumstance, Lord willing, I'm equipped just through that class with at least a start to being able to look at different issues that people face. There's real things that people deal with at any age. And, God's Word has the answers. And I've in that class just taught how to look at the problem, look at God's Word, and let God's Word take care of the issues of life. Amen. So, and I'm sure if I ever had any questions, I know I could call Pastor Bray and get his ear for a little bit if I needed any help.
Good. Good questions. Good questions.
Yes, sir. That would be as far as pastor would have me do it, but at the bare minimum, I would definitely need somebody to be in there with me, whether it be another lady, a couple, but somebody in there to help counsel young ladies, just purely for accountability and just to make sure that there's not even an accusation of any wrongdoing or any possibility of a wrongdoing. Any other questions?
Good.
I appreciate that, Arthur, taking the time to share. And he's going to come up and give us a challenge from the Word of God here in just a minute. But I just want to kind of update you on moving forward. What we'll do is if you have some questions that you'd like to submit in the coming days, please do that. We will make sure that Arthur gets those and give him an opportunity to answer that question, even to you personally. But we want our hearts to be connected, okay, and let the Lord lead us in all of this. I do believe just meeting with Him over these months, these past several months, and praying, fasting, and meeting with the men, I do believe that Arthur would be a great addition to our church family. I think that God would use him greatly here to be an assistance to us. And as our church is growing over the past 4 years, I don't have the exact number. I don't keep up with numbers, but praying through the list is where I recall we've had about 18 families that the Lord has added to our church over the past 4 years, probably at least 14 of those 18 are still faithfully attending. So God's growing His church and giving the increase, and we give Him all the glory. But with more people comes the need of more laborers, staff laborers. And I think at the level we are, an intern would be very appropriate and helping us along in that. So we're going to just pray and let the Lord lead us clearly in one accord. And so what we'll do is we'll have an official vote on August the 2nd, and it'll be during the PM service. And so we'll do a vote by ballot for members 18 years and older that would vote for that. But before then, we'll also, the Wednesday before that, we'll have a meeting on a Wednesday night like tonight, which I think would be technically 2 weeks from tonight, where the Finance Committee will share their recommendation of Arthur. And also we'll talk about finances at that point as well, and also answer any questions that you might have. And so that's where we'll go from there. And then following that Wednesday, that Sunday, that following Sunday, the 2nd, we'll, Lord willing, have a vote and be able to do that. But appreciate you being here, brother. You come and you challenge us from the Word of God. Okay, Brother Arthur?
If you have your Bible, go ahead and take you the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. And I appreciate you all and just your friendliness, your kindness. I know that some of you have reached out to me on or Instagram, different places, and just kind of connecting with me a little bit. And I appreciate that. You all have been most kind and most friendly. And if anybody has any more questions, maybe something you forgot or anything like that, you can ask me after service. Anything that comes to mind, I won't mind at all. But Mark chapter number 4, Mark chapter number 4. These are interesting times that we're living in, no doubt. I remember when all this stuff started happening just a few months ago, thinking surely it can't last long. And seeing, you know, coronavirus and the protests and all of these things really just began to take on its own way of thinking. And really, something that really I've really noticed and something that's really been on my heart is I've seen a lot of people begin to be discouraged. I've seen a lot of Christians begin to be discouraged. You know, this is a great group for many churches on a Wednesday night. Now, I've seen and heard of churches where attendance is dropping, and you know, all this mess of 2020, people are looking at it, and people are discouraged, people are torn down a little bit, people are weighed down because of what's going on. But, you know, really, we have a big God, and really, we have a great God. And it's been amazing to hear what God is doing here with the missions trip and with, you know, people being added to the church despite everything going on. And I'll just say, in the storms of life, in the difficulties of life, it's very of the utmost importance for us to turn our attention and to turn our dependence on Jesus Christ. And I believe what the church is doing here has been a testimony that this is a church and a people who believe in just that. That when the hard times of life come, that you cast your eyes, you cast your focus, and you cast your dependence on the Lord. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 35, we'll read a few verses. The Word of God says, And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Just for a few minutes tonight, I want to share how that when the storms and the difficulties of life come, we should first cast our dependence on Jesus Christ. We'll pray and then I'll just share a few quick points. Dear Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness, God, for your grace. And Lord, just being able to testify, Lord, about what you've done in my life. God, your goodness, Lord, and your just amazing love, Lord, and we're thankful for that. I pray tonight that we would be encouraged by your word, that we'd be helped by your word. Pray that you would speak, Lord, that your spirit would move in our hearts. I pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I would just like to start by saying, mark it down that there will be times in life like 2020. You know, it's not just this year that might cause us to be discouraged. It's not just this year that might cause us to be stressed out or to have anxiety. But really, there will be times in your life and in my life, if they aren't happening right now, they might happen down the road, or you're just coming out of a time that will bring you to the end of yourself. Really, what we see in these disciples is that they're on a ship, which for some of them, that was common territory. They were fishermen. They understood what it meant to be on the sea. They understood what it meant to be in a boat in the middle of a storm. But this was a storm that, for most cases, was unlike any other they had been in. They were fearful for their lives. This was a storm that brought the disciples to the end themselves. And mark it down, I say you can take this to the bank. There will be times in your life, there will be times in my life when something may come, when there may be difficulties, when there may be trials, when there may be issues that will bring us to the end of ourselves. Like I said, these disciples, some of them were fishermen. You know, no doubt when this storm came, some of them tried to do what they had always done in the storm. No doubt some of them, you know, if it was me, I'd probably have a bucket throwing water out of the boat, probably throwing things off the ship, trying to make sure it wouldn't sink or get capsized. No doubt the disciples were doing some of these things. But there got to a point where they realized the storm was so bad that they couldn't save themselves. They couldn't help themselves. They could do nothing to keep themselves safe. You know, it might not be the best news in the world, but there will be times in our life when we'll get too discouraged to a certain point, when we'll have some trials in our life that we don't have an answer for. There will be times when God might put some tests and some tribulations to bring us to a point where there's nothing we could do about it. Where there's nothing, you know, that maybe we're used to difficulty, maybe we're used to struggles, and we might do what we've always done, but God will put us to a point sometimes where we get to the end of ourselves, not to discourage us. Hey, not to break us and to cast down our spirit so that we can't do anything to serve the Lord. Hey, not so that we'll turn our back upon God, but God will bring us to the end of ourselves, Lord willing, so that we will depend on Him. In this passage of Scripture, that's exactly where the disciples were. They're at a point where they had no capability of saving themselves. They had to turn to Jesus. That reminds me of a quote that C.H. Spurgeon said. He said, I've learned to kiss the waves that throw me against the rock of ages. Hey, when the hard times come, learn to look at the difficulties, learn to look at the trials, learn to look at the tribulations, not for something that, oh man, I just can't get through, I'm just going to fall into grief and depression, not to a point where I'm just going to try and work as hard as I can, and you know, hopefully it will work out for the better. But when the hard times come, go to Jesus. You know, I wonder how long they spent trying to take care of this situation themselves before they woke Jesus up. I wonder how long they spent doing all the things that they had learned to do as a fisherman to try and keep the boat afloat before they finally said, the Son of God is in our boat. You know what? Jesus, who is the very Son of God, the promised one, the Messiah, who we've seen heal people, who we've seen do miracles after miracles, He is in this boat and He can take care of the situation. And when the tough times come, there might be great storms. There might be great difficulties. You might be going through one right now. Learn to depend on Jesus. The Apostle Paul, we know that he had a thorn in the flesh. He had a physical ailment that he prayed three times that God would take it away. It was something that bothered him, something that he just couldn't get rid of. And God said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Do we have that heart where we take pleasure in the difficult times? Do we have that mindset of the Apostle Paul that, praise the Lord, when difficulties come, it helps me depend on Jesus more? That's not always our heart. If you're like me, that's definitely not always my heart. You know, if you're like half the people, you probably read their status on Facebook. Well, they just want all this difficulty to go away. They just want it all to be taken care of. Like that, with no dependence on God, no growth through it. But God wants to bring us to the end of ourselves. To the point where we can't rely on what Arthur can do, we can't rely on what you can do, we can't rely on anything else but what on the power of Jesus Christ. There's a great storm. And praise the Lord, in that boat they had a great God. You know, when the times of life that are just too difficult to handle come, turn to the God who can handle your storm. Hey, turn to the God who can handle your difficulty. The Bible says that Jesus was asleep. For the disciples, what, this was a great tragedy. This was something, a catastrophe, something they just couldn't even fathom. This storm, they couldn't handle it, but Jesus Christ was safely sleeping. Do you know that the surprises and the difficulties of your life, they never take God by surprise? Our struggles, they're never too big for God. But too often we look at our struggles like they're so huge and like our God is so small. But when we learn to depend on God in the midst of our difficulties, our God becomes great and our problems become small. So what do you do when the difficult times come? What do you do in the midst of 2020 and all the issues of today? What do you do when you're discouraged, when you're hurt, when life is just a little bit too hard? Do you depend on self, or do you turn to the God who can handle all of your problems? Let's pray.